Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Circuses on the air.
The president does.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And live from the Allstate Showcase Studios from the Tribune Tower on 720 WGN. I am, well, actually, you are not. You, Dave Schwann, is joining us this morning, and you are at Wacker Drive.
I am at Wacker Drive. Good morning to you.
But happy you're in the Father's studio. Day. You're not actually
and
just
good
walking.
Morning to our newest sportscaster on WGN Radio. Hi,
thank
Josh.
You. Hello. Good morning.
You know, it's fun. It's a tradition we do here, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is fun. Sure.
It's awesome. But you know, even though he's on the air here, he's still on his phone at 17 years old. Flip that over.
Seeing what time it is.
Kick you in the butt.
Put down the phone.
Put down the phone. You're talking to billions of people.
Or tweeting at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, who are you talking to?
He's talking to his buddies.
It's an addiction. It's an addiction, I think, the phone is for these young punks.
It's not just the youngins. It's
no,
everybody.
It's not. It is everybody.
It's everybody.
So how are you today, buddy?
Good. Good.
Celebrating with Dad later today?
Yep. As soon as we're done here today, I'll be out and going to a Father's Day dinner and spending the afternoon with Dad, and going to probably stay inside as much as possible because the this is very serious, this heat that is already here, really. You can feel it outside now.
Especially if you're not in great health. You know, it's not a place you want to be.
Right. Excessive heat. You've got air quality warnings, and if you have any type of breathing or respiratory problem, this is nothing to mess around with.
Nothing today.
Now, how about you? You were posting some things that you were in Lake Geneva, I believe.
We have a little place that we stay up there, a friend of ours, and it's kind of like our little home, right, Josh?
Second home.
And we leave our boat up there, which is nice. And so we did that. We did a little supper club. We went to Anthony's Steakhouse, which is a great Friday night fish fry that we had there, and an old-fashioned and some onion rings and just some good old-fashioned
I love
classics,
that kind of stuff.
You know, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Went to Kilwin's for some ice cream today. Went swimming, went on the boat
Kilwin's?
For a little bit.
Oh, Kilwin's? They have a Kilwin's there?
Yeah, there's a Kilwin's. Oh, it's been there forever. Oh, yeah. But then we boated, and then we just kind of hung out at the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And cooled off. And I'm not a guy that jumps in the pool from just a distance.
However, he jumped in from a distance.
I did. I was so damn hot from being on the boat that I'm one of those guys that just kind of takes my time in and gets acclimated.
My mom and I literally stared at each other and were like, wow, what did he do?
I literally opened the gate and ran into the pool. Yeah, it was a hot day. So that's a great thing to do today. I mean, get your local pool. Any beach closings or anything because of that? Because sometimes there's bacteria issues and stuff at the beaches on these
not
hot days.
At this time.
Okay.
Not
too
at
early,
this time,
maybe?
But it is too early. I have to say, speaking of beaches, I drove by North Avenue Beach on Lakeshore Drive yesterday. They were packed over there.
I bet it was.
Which is not surprising, but we don't have anything like that at this point. Certainly we'll relay that once we get that information, though.
Cool. Well, we're going to jump into history because we're going to do a little shortened segment because I want to talk a little bit about the showcase before we go today. So 1868, President Andrew Johnson passed a law that government workers could work an eight-hour workday. In 1864, the eight-hour workday became the central demand of the Chicago labor movement. The Illinois legislature passed a law in early to 1867 granting an eight-hour day that was largely ineffective. But there was a strike, and it shut down the city's economy for a week before it collapsed. And in June 1868, Congress passed a law for federal employees, which was also of limited effectiveness, but it at least got the conversation going because people were working 10, 12, 14-hour workdays.
And 6 days a week.
And 6 days a week. See, Josh, you got it easy.
Boy, oh boy, I'll say.
Back in my day.
I'll say. Now, it was Chicago. Chicago really played a very important part in what resulted in the five-day, 40-hour work week.
Yeah. Yep. The Chicago labor movement right mm-hmm. there. Yep. 1892, the first L, Chicago and Southside Rapid Transit Railroad began revenue service in June of 1892 when a steam locomotive pulling four wooden coaches carrying over a dozen people departed the 39th Street Station, arrived at the Congress Street Terminal 14 minutes later over tracks that are still in use today by the Green Line.
Wow. Can you imagine a steam locomotive?
Yeah, crazy, right?
In the middle of all the skyscrapers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it was pretty
I've seen
dirty
pictures
back then.
Of that. Yeah. I've seen pictures of that. And that's all that, you know, there was the electric, standard electricity that we have now that runs true. Those trains. It wasn't around.
No, it was not around at that time. 1910, Father's Day celebrated for the first time in Spokane, Washington.
That's right.
In the YMCA in 1910 by Sonora Smart Dodd, who was born in Arkansas, and his first celebration was at the YMCA on June 19th, 1910. Her father, the Civil War veteran, William Jackson Smart, was a single parent who raised six children there. And after hearing a sermon about Jarvis's Mother's Day in 1909, she told her pastor that fathers should have a similar holiday. And she initially suggested June 5th. Her father's birthday, but the pastors didn't have enough time to prepare their sermons, so it was deferred to the third Sunday in June.
And here we are,
1910 on that one. 1917, the Raggedy Ann doll was invented. 1933, Don McNeil's Pepper Pot Breakfast Club began. It's, and this is unprecedented when I think about this, 35-and-a-half-year run on NBC.
You know, I still have a memory of Don McNeil's Breakfast Club on the radio. And you know who carried it?
Who?
WLS.
Yeah, it was NBC first on the Blue Network and then mm-hmm. ABC Radio and then a little bit on television, I think, from
yes.
Chicago here, right?
Yep, yep.
June 33 to December 68, McNeil's 35-and-a-half-year run as host remains the longest tenure for an MC of a network entertainment program, surpassing Johnny Carson, 29-and-a-half years, Bob Barker, 34-and-two-thirds of a year on The Price is Right.
Two-thirds of a year.
Yeah. That's what they wrote here. There's not a lot of audio left of the show. Let's take a little listen to the clip from Don McNeil's Breakfast Club.
Presenting America's favorite, the Blue Network Breakfast Club with Don McNeil.
Good morning, Breakfast Club. Good morning to you. We got up bright and early. Yes, howdy to you. The coffee's on the table set. There's bacon in the skillet. And Harry Cogan and his boys have fumes to fill it. So come on, gang, and gather around. We'll start this meeting. Just line up here. I'll call your names and sing your greeting. Marion May.
You could totally tell that is the 1930s for sure. Just the music alone.
Oh, yeah.
You should sing your news today, Dave, just in honor of the Breakfast Club.
Excessive heat warning in effect today.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. All right, so anyway, 1940.
No, I think that's a good idea. We'll just stop right there.
Just stop. Batman comics. Mobsters rubbed out a circus high-wire team known as the Flying Graysons, leaving their son Dick an orphan, thus the introduction of Robin in all this.
That was Robin.
It was not the Batman comics introduced. It was Robin, how he was introduced. So, mobsters rubbed out a circus high-wire team known as the Flying Graysons, which included his parents, and Dick was an orphan. So, what's his name now?
Bruce Wayne.
Took him in. Yeah. 1949, Captain Video and his Video Rangers debuted on Dumont Television, which was Channel 9 here in Chicago. Let's take a listen.
Post, P-O-S-T, P-O-S-T, the cereals you like the most. The cereals made by Post take you to the secret mountain retreat of Captain Video, Master of Space, Hero of Science, Captain of the Video Rangers.
There you have it. But that's not my favorite memory of Captain Video and Video Rangers. It was the episode of The Honeymooners, the first of the 39, where Ralph and Norton were sharing a TV, and Norton was watching his show and woke up Ralph. Let's take a listen.
Attention, Rangers! I want all you Rangers at home to recite the Captain Video Ranger pledge. Hi, Edmund Norton. Ranger, third class, in the Captain Video Space Academy, do solemnly pledge to obey my mommy and daddy. Be kind to dumb animals and old ladies in and out of space. Not to feed my little brothers and sisters, and to brush my teeth twice a day and drink milk after every meal.
All right, that's it. All right, out!
He grabbed his helmet.
I can picture this.
Right?
I can do.
What was that?
From the sewers.
From the sewers. That's right. Yeah. I'm telling you. But Josh, you know the Honeymooners.
Oh, yeah.
See, but how many kids could you ask your friends if they've ever seen the Honeymooners? Really? And I'm asking honestly, would some of them know?
Maybe.
Maybe, but not many.
Be too familiar with
They've been on
characters.
Syndication and reruns long enough. Where,
they have, you know, but you know what? They're not as visible. Like, you know, MeTV, you have to find it and watch it to do that. And yeah. I don't know if a lot of kids do that. Like, my daughter sees it, too. I don't think Alex, my youngest, has ever seen it.
No.
Might have to do that. As a burp here. 1955, first automobile seatbelt legislation was enacted in Illinois. That's where it started again. Seatbelts were a must. Although my grandmother, I remember in her 1960 Chevy Impala, just used to put her hand in front of me.
You still do that to me.
I still do that as a joke to him. But
I remember cars without
seatbelts. That was her seatbelt. Yeah,
I remember cars that just didn't have them.
Oh yeah, that my grandma's car didn't have one. Yeah,
our very first car that I have a memory of was a 1955 Chevy Bel Air. It was one of the classic mid-1950s cars, you know, those big
boats. Those are beautiful. I know. With the
you sat up high, and the steering wheel was huge. But there were no seatbelts in that, and I don't think there were seatbelts in the car Dad got after that one.
Probably not.
So, that was a 1960-61 Oldsmobile.
65, first U.S. Ground Forces in Vietnam, authorized by President Johnson. 1980, the David Letterman Show debuted his short-lived talk show on NBC Daytime before Late Night premiered, and they premiered, this week, Late Night with David Letterman aired for the last time on NBC in 1993 before he moved to CBS. We'll be right back.